Darko's Apple Farm is up next. Stay tuned.
All right, everyone, welcome back to Darko's Apple Farm. I'm here with my co-host, Bryce. Bryce, what's up?
Yo, we're on Darko's Apple Farm. I want some apples.
We're going to go ahead and call this episode Infrared.
Infrared.
And with that, we will we'll get right into the starting five. Bryce,
yo,
let me hit you with this. Will the Warriors make 25 wins? This may be a little too soon, but they look like shit.
They look like absolute shit, and they're still going to win 25 games. And I believe this because I think that Steph Curry will them to win at least enough games against these shit teams like the Pistons.
If the Pistons were a British soccer team, they would be relegated. I'm okay with relegation in the NBA. I want it to happen, just so we're all on the same page.
You have an odd love and hate thing for the Pistons where you like them, you say, but your actions don't show it.
Oh my gosh. I would like them a lot more if Maxi Kleba played for this team.
Which is, a very random-ass thing to request. I mean, yeah, I'd like the Pistons more if we had, you know, Magic Johnson back in the day. But
oh man, had the Lakers accepted Daly's trade of the entire team for Magic Johnson?
You know, this is the 80s, and that actually would have worked.
Yes,
surprisingly, that would have worked.
Do you think they didn't get traded here because Magic was like, listen, you know what I'm doing on the side, and there is not enough attractive people in Detroit? I'm in LA right now, comparatively, I can't move.
Well, what if he got traded to Detroit and never contracted the disease?
Oh, Karl Malone couldn't get him out of the league then.
Think about
it. Okay, number two. Get with this infrared, to get with the infrared theme. Infrared.
Yes. Infrared.
By the way, shout out, that's still the album of the year.
Still the album of the year.
We're carrying it over for a few years now. Grayson Allen, Trae Young, who do you take in a fist fight?
I'm taking Trae Young.
You're taking Trae Young?
I'm taking Trae Young.
Yeah, I'm taking Grayson Allen. Okay.
Okay, wait, hold on. Why are you taking Grayson? Just because I want to hear your logic and I wanted to dispute it right now.
Well, after watching Trae Young bounce off of DeAndre Jordan yesterday and then catch a knee in the head from Joe Harris, mm-hmm, he just looks like he might need to sit down for a little while. It's like watching Elijah Wood get into a fist fight. Who are you going to take to beat? Who's he gonna beat? Like a 3-year-old?
He's going to beat Grayson Allen because
he's going to beat Grayson Allen.
And here's another point. And here's the key point. Something about Trae Young from his rookie year, his teammates are terrible. They don't back him up. He's had to learn how to fight because remember when he hit that game-winning shot 2 years ago and literally nobody on his team came up to give him any sort of high five or anything? They just kind of stood there like, oh, I guess we won the game then. And while he's over there celebrating it in mid-interview when someone finally comes up and is like, hey, good job, and pats him on the back and walks away, that man has harboring a lot of anger. And he's down in Atlanta. That man has got a lot of anger built up. When the fight time comes, he's about to swing on somebody. Either that or get someone named TT to do it.
Oh, man. Look out for TT.
Watch out for TT.
Okay, number three. Do you believe Cole Anthony's numbers?
No.
No? Just that quick. You're done.
I mean, like, no. Do you? I mean, am I supposed to? We're talking, what, four games in?
Four games in. He looks real good, though. He looks a lot better than Killian Hayes after a few games.
Killian is a young point guard who's 19 years old. Let the man live.
Okay, I'm just going to keep this going just the entire season until he proves it. Okay.
Next one.
This was written a little earlier, but are the Nets playing on rookie mode? Like,
yeah,
we've seen some if.
The Nets are playing so good right now that I actually believe I might be with Kyrie and believe that the earth is flat. Time is clearly a flat circle.
They blew your mind so hard that it's flat.
The earth is now flat.
Oh man. Hey, I want to see what they do without Spencer Dinwiddie for an extended period of time, but
that's true.
I mean, at the same time, does it matter with the rest of that roster? Like, if there's a team that might be okay.
I'm selfishly loving it because I have Caris LeVert on my fantasy team. So
Caris LeVert, all fun and games until he tweaks an ankle.
Which at that point, I'll have traded him already. See, you got to think ahead.
I'm going to think ahead.
Like, that's why, again, the earth is flat. Time is a flat circle.
Oh, my gosh. So at that point in time, do you trade him for like a Tyrese Halliburton, who's also playing better than Killian Hayes?
I'm trading him for Killian Hayes just to spite you.
You're going to lose your league just for that.
I'm going to win, baby. Killian Hayes, point guard 2021.
All right. And then the last one I have here, Rubio's playing really good. Do you think he finishes the season on the Wolves or is he going somewhere else?
I think a contender comes after him. I could see him going to be either a backup someplace or be a high level starter for a team that needs a point guard. So, I mean, I don't know exactly which team. I was thinking that he could be a good backup in like some teams on the East, but someone's going to find him and take him. You have to. Rubio could just keep going back and forth between the Suns and the Timberwolves for the rest of his career.
I feel like he needs another stint in OKC.
You know what? That was a short stint. He does need to. Let's just have Ricky Rubio try to go on all the teams in the same sequence and order he did the first time around and see what changes.
Ooh, that's a good idea. The shame is, like, I really want to see him on a team. I want to see him play important minutes. But I feel like he would actually be great for the Pistons as a – this is the guy that would be trading – that would be training Killian Hayes, who he'd be working with to mimic that game.
Killian Hayes is going to be fine. You hate – I don't know what's good with your Pistons disrespect, man.
No, I don't mean that. No, but I actually mean this as a compliment. Like, I would – like, I love Rubio enough, and I – like, Killian Hayes can move the ball, has great sight, like – mm-hmm. If you're going to put a veteran that you want him to be around and learn from, it's probably Rubio.
It's probably Rubio.
That's what I meant by that one.
Yeah, okay.
Which takes us to the first ever Pistons Minute.
Pistons Minute!
Pistons Minute, folks. This is where we discuss the Pistons.
Brought to you by Dirty Dick's Crab House. I got my crabs from Dirty Dick's.
Dirty Dick's Crab House.
I'm getting that sponsorship money, baby.
All right. Oh, man.
Best sponsor we've had yet.
So Pistons Minute, do you want to come up? You got something first? Do you want me to come in? What do you got?
Okay, so the Pistons, what I'm going to say for the Pistons Minute, are the Pistons are doing exactly what I talked about. They are being competitive in every single game, even though they haven't really played anybody. But they're being competitive in every single game and still find a way to lose. We're getting closer to that top pick, while still not looking like a complete dumpster fire. So, personally, I think we're doing exactly what we're supposed to do. I'd like to see us win, you know, a game eventually. Or not, maybe not, who knows. As long as Killian Hayes is out there, Jeremiah Grant looks good.
That contract's looking like I'm happy with that one right now. When there was a lot of shit talk about it.
Yeah.
Good for that guy for going, listen, I know I'm better than this. I'm going to go take a bigger role.
Yeah. And also, you got to admit, we're talking four games in, but Troy Weaver's picks and like moves so far all kind of make sense. Nothing looks out of place. Stewart looks bouncy and like fun as a center. Hayes is looking like he can have the vision in the future. You have Bay, who looks like he could be a two-way player. I don't dislike any move that he's made in four games in. Short sample size, but
Stewart looks like the player that is a Piston, is the historic Piston, like what everyone here wants to cheer for. And I'm very excited about that.
Yeah.
And the only thing I have truly against the team right now, like obviously I want to see Killian perform a little bit better. In all actuality, he's going to start hitting floaters. He's playing a higher league than he has, and he's 19 years old. But again, the Pistons probably held on to some assets a little too long. And I don't know what you're getting from Blake or Derrick Rose now.
You're getting a potentially expiring contract in Blake Griffin that he's obviously going to pick up this option. But for, again, a contending team that's desperate, they may make the move. Miami starts to sink a little bit. Toronto's looking a little rough. One of them may jump.
I I don't know how serious the Kuzma conversation was last year for Derrick Rose, but that might have been the time to go. I don't know what you're getting now.
Yeah. I still think you can get something for Derrick Rose, though. He always starts slow.
That's a good point. Just guarding the door. That's what he's doing right now.
Hold the door.
Hodor. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back.
Sounds good. See you guys in a sec on the flip side.
All right, everybody. Welcome back. Bryce and I here, and we're gonna discuss some teams in the standings that are kind of standing out and look a little strange to me.
Yeah. It's a segment we like to call Closer to Reality, and it's brought to you by our sponsor, Whoppers, because if it's not big, it's not a Whopper.
All right. With that, we're going to get started. And Bryce, my first question to you is, what's closer to reality, the Magic or the Cavaliers? The Magic 4-0, the Cavaliers 3-1.
Neither. Can I take neither? Obviously not the Cavaliers. I'm
understanding how this works.
I was going to say, definitely it'd have to be the Magic if I had to select. The Cavaliers are not this good. The Cavaliers, A, are going to be hurt. That's just what they do. And B, it's not going to work out. And C, I'm right. And that's all that needs to be said.
I'm right, guys.
Right. No, I mean, I do like what the Orlando Magic have. I do think that they have a nice, talented young roster. I know it sucks that they have, you know, some major injuries, but we're seeing the rise of Fultz. I don't dislike that team. I don't think they're a 4-0 team, but I think they're much closer to being a serious contender than the Cavaliers are. The Cavaliers are closer to the Pistons in terms of where they're going to finish their season. So,
good for the Cavaliers for getting started like this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry to Cleveland, because I feel like there's a lot of people getting their hopes up right now, and it's going to suck when they find out the truth.
Yeah. There's not a chance in hell that the Cleveland Cavaliers are the third best team in the Eastern Conference at the end of this year.
Oh man. In all honesty, like what does Magic look like? The Magic look like they have Jonathan Isaac right now.
That's what I'm saying. It's the sucks that they don't have that. With Isaac, they actually could legitimately be a contender. That team is fun, young, and they're stupid enough where they don't know that they're not supposed to be good.
Right? Like, it's a team that I wonder what they – and it's the Magic, so you know they're going to run for the bottom of the playoffs if they can.
Yeah.
But it would be a fun team that by the trade deadline, they start falling somewhere back closer to 6-8 range, and they were just like, you know what? We're going to drop two pieces, get a couple draft picks, come back with Isaac, and be a little bit younger.
I think what they're more likely to do, because this franchise hasn't tasted anything close to relevancy in a while, is if they are hanging around that 6, they're going to make that trade deadline move where they're going to go after somebody big. They might come after our Blake. This is the team that would make that move where they feel like they have enough young pieces. They're tired of continuing to add youth. They want to add a place that takes them to that next level.
They're bringing back Victor Oladipo.
Oladipo.
It's coming full circle. Okay.
The NBA is going full circle because time is a flat circle.
Number two, we're staying on the East this time.
Mm-hmm.
We have the Bulls at 1-3 and the Wiz at 0-4. What is closer to reality?
This one's a tough one. I think that the Bulls are closer to reality than the Wizards, personally. I think that the Wizards still have pieces where they can go on a run mid-season when teams are kind of, you know, when the Lakers aren't really caring as much and the Clippers aren't caring as much and they're kind of gearing up for their postseason run, where the Wizards can kind of run toward that 8th seed. I don't see it for the Bulls. I think they're mismanaging the whole Lauri Markkanen situation. He doesn't know what his role is on that team. LaVine, it's shown that he really doesn't want to be there. Like, he can't lead the team by himself, but he doesn't know how to interact with other players. So,
man, he's made for a game of one-on-one.
He is. He's truly a one-on-one player.
That's that's a real strange one. And obviously Bertans isn't helping the situation in Washington right now.
Yeah.
Then obviously a new starting point guard that is a shame for, you know, someone that needs to dominate the ball that much and trying to make it work with that team obviously doesn't help the most.
No. But, it didn't make a lot of sense at the time. You go from one bad contract to another. You have Bradley Beal if you're the Wizards. I don't know why they haven't just tried to build a team with Bradley Beal as your center, get a pass-first point guard, get some strong Ricky rebounders. Rubio. Yeah, Ricky Rubio. Ricky Rubio and Bradley Beal would have been a great combination.
Yeah, you just got to get some defense around it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm with you here. I think the Wiz are less realistic. That any team sitting at 0% winning is not likely unless it's the Pistons. And I'm getting close to rooting for it just so we can have had it in two sports now and we can just start working our way around all of them.
You have a weird obsession with morbid Detroit sports.
I do.
Oh man.
But yeah, like I think the Wiz are going to get close to that play-in and just barely miss the play-in, or they're going to get their asses stomped.
Yeah,
when they get to it, you know, if they're high enough up and they somehow shock everyone and are in the eighth seed and have to win one game, I'm going to pick Russ over the other teams that are going to be competing for that to go, okay, here's my one game. I'll show up and do it.
Russ in one game, yes. James Harden in one game, no.
James Harden is going to get you to the postseason, and then he's going to go out and he's going to be like, listen, I don't believe in COVID. I'm partying with everyone.
Also, I was thinking of COVID stuff. I know it's kind of takes off a little off point, but I like the fact that CBS Sports is now only referring to Lou Williams as Lemon Pepper Williams. Like in articles and stuff, they've just been calling him Lemon Pepper. And I think that's amazing.
Oh my gosh, CBS for a fucking win today.
CBS Sports, if you guys aren't using CBS Sports, I highly recommend it. Better than ESPN. CBS Sports. We're people who talk about sports. Go to listen to people who talk about sports. Talk about sports.
That's a long one. I like it though. I'm not mad. I may have got.
I don't have a logo. We can maybe insert one somewhere.
You need like a spinning logo that like flies away as you're saying it, like into the corner, like a good old 80s transition in PowerPoint.
Yeah, just get some star swipes. Well,
that'd be an early 90s, not 80s. Okay.
Okay.
This. Okay.
All right.
Here we go. Moving on to the third one here. I got the Pelicans and the Suns. The Suns are 3-1 and the Pelicans are 2-2.
And remember when we talked earlier and I said, I like the Suns team.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm obviously going to, as I say, I'm keeping it up. The Suns have been backing up everything I said earlier about them. They look good. Chris Paul fits in the team well. He's made Booker look better. I got to stick with my Suns.
Okay. I can appreciate that. A 75% win percentage, I don't think I can stick with. So I'm going to disagree with you here and go with the Pelicans. And I just, like, we've had multiple conversations in the past I am convinced that Shaq would have been the best player of all time had he wanted to be.
Yeah.
And I just look at Zion and go, could you be the best player if you wanted to be? Could you have that same little bit there? He doesn't dominate the same way.
He doesn't dominate the same way.
And no, he cannot do it. But is the fun there like young Shaq? Yes.
Yeah.
There's a lot of fun there like young Shaq. And I'm really excited about Brandon Ingram. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know what the peak is for that team as like a 1-2 combination, but it's high. And I am very excited to continue to watch it.
I'm excited to continue to watch it. But again, I'm backing my Suns. I think the Suns are the team that is going to shock everybody this year.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. But those are two teams I'm real excited about. And as of right now, that takes us to our last one, which both of these teams would be out of the playoffs and the Mavs would be a lottery team.
Yeah.
That leaves us with the Trailblazers and the Mavs. Trailblazers at 2-2, the Mavs at 1-3. What's closer to reality?
I think right now you're talking about, again, this is one of those last ones where I'm like, neither. The Mavs are going to be fine. The Mavs just had some rough starts, but we've seen what the Mavericks can do. So I can't take the Mavericks there being the closer to reality team. Trailblazers, I know that everyone's excited about them. I think they made some savvy moves this offseason, but I could actually see them having a down year.
Ooh, that is very different than my opinion. I always hope that the Trailblazers are the team that get in and just somehow start upsetting teams in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
I really like that team. Well, I guess I just really like Dame.
Yeah.
And
this is hard for you because I know your man crush on Luka. So I know you really are having a hard time talking down on your boy.
Would it be weird if I got the same forearm tattoo as Luka just to prove like how close we could be as best friends?
I mean, weird? Yes. Something you would do? Yes. Are you secretly hoping for a Dame Lillard Luka threesome? Yes.
I didn't even know that was a possibility. We might need to go to break now. I think the Blazers are closer to a 500 team, obviously, than the Mavs being 1-3.
Yeah.
But I also, it could legitimately just be a year where the Trailblazers are just over a 500 team. And I also wouldn't be surprised if it's a year where they somehow just barely by like a game and a half or two games get the sixth seed.
Mm-hmm.
So it's they're an interesting team. They're a team that I'm really excited to watch this year. They're one of the teams that I'll probably catch quite a few games of.
Yeah.
But I mean, just whenever, like at this point, I'm waiting for Dame to throw a shot over his head, like backwards at the 3-point line to win a game. Just like turn around and just like throw it and walk off the court.
It'd be baller, but I think
Williams.
I think he's had his peak moment. So I don't know how much you can top just the bye walk off.
Oh man, that's so good. He gave him a bye walk off too.
You gotta go full Backstreet Boys.
All right. Then we got a next one. We got a next one. It involves some rookies, okay? This is going to be bench one, trade one, start one.
Okay.
Jordan Wiseman, Anthony Edwards, or LaMelo Ball.
All right. So this is going to be an interesting one. Again, it's keep one, trade one, or bench one, trade one.
Start one.
And start one. This is a tough one. I think I'm starting Edwards. Okay. I'm benching Wiseman, and I'm trading Melo.
Okay, explain your reason.
Okay, Wiseman, I still think he's going to be – you have to find the right system for him. And I think that right now he's still trying to figure out his way in the league, so it makes sense to bench him and let him gain some experience. But I do think he has a place in this league. I don't think he's a complete lost cause by any means, of course. None of the three are. Edwards, to me, can give you points in a hurry. He can fill up a stat sheet. He can actively be a role player on a good team.
He's your Vinny starter. Johnson.
What's up?
He's your Vinny Johnson.
He's my Vinny Johnson, but he can start on a good team and just be a good, like they're, you know, a bottom option. The last one though, LaMelo, I know that he's not bad. I just don't see it right now. I don't see the magic yet. So I'm all about, I think right now is the perfect time because his value is never going to be as, I don't think his value is ever as high as it is right now, no matter what, unless he becomes great. This is the highest his value is going to be. So trade him. Get the most you can for him.
And with that comment right there, I would like to say, Stan Van Gundy, Jeff Bauer, if you are listening, this is how you trade players at their highest peak.
Oh, so you're saying you don't wait for them to completely use up their value, then try to move them, or then trade a lot for something that's not really worth the money?
Yes. Yes. Or stick the future regime with a bad contract for a man that wears a sweater under his jersey. And then you have to get John Henson back.
Yes.
Okay. If it's me, mm-hmm. if it's me and I'm looking at this, I think I'm going to start Wiseman.
Okay.
I'm going to bench LaMelo and trade Edwards.
Okay. And why is that?
I've liked what I've seen from Wiseman. Now, mind you, he's with one of the smartest players in the history of the league. Like, mm-hmm. Steph, and not only that, Steve Kerr was very intelligent, and obviously is, you know,
yeah,
maybe the best, maybe still the best coach in the NBA. Mm-hmm. And I really like what I've seen from him. And obviously at this point in time, you don't build around a center, but there's something there that I really like about him.
Yeah.
LaMelo, you know, I would bench him just in hopes that you have someone else that is there to teach him a little bit. And I mean, like, how many times on here and both off of here that I have just gone nuts over a random pass that he's thrown that I'm just like, how is he doing this? How's he doing this? What game is he playing?
Yeah.
So obviously I'm really big on him, and I would trade Edwards. Like, he might be collecting Chris Bosh stats in the Raptors. He might just be. He's not, I don't think he's a plus for you. I don't think he's a minus for you. He's just there.
He's there, but that's why I kind of like him, because he's not going to hurt you. I think that, you know, obviously with Melo, you have a player who's going to have the ball, primarily you'll have the ball in their hands. So mm-hmm. he's got to be great, because if not, he hurts you.
Exactly.
Wiseman is expected as a starter to do so much if you're going to be a starting center in this new NBA that, again, if he's not doing the right things on defense or the right calls and boxes on offense, he's gonna hurt you. That's why he's still got to build. He's doing look great, but he's still got to build on some of that. I think Edwards, like you said, because he's not a plus or a minus, he can't, you can play around, you can build a team around him where he doesn't hurt you. He may not help you the way you want him to, but he doesn't hurt you, which is what makes him possibly the most startable of the three.
Okay, so with that, Is he in all actuality closer to a Jordan Clarkson?
I guess so. I'm trying to think of someone better than Jordan Clarkson, but I guess you're kind of right there. Jordan Clarkson, really, he's there. He can be great if he wants to be, or he can just be there.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't mean that as like a negative, and I get you're this, yeah. I was in the same place. I couldn't think of someone off the top of my head, but like, he's someone that could come in and just go, okay, here's a big ass game. And then I'll be a negative 2 points next game.
Yeah. His plus minus should never look that ridiculous. It should be in line with what the actual final game score is for him.
Oh, man. Also, Jordan Clarkson, good for your contract, bro.
NBA players out there getting it for themselves.
NBA players out there. Like, I don't know who it is that's like, son, listen, you're going to play football. You're going to get the shit kicked out of you and then not make much money unless you're one of like 10 players.
You want to know the parents that do that when they have a kid that's 6'6 and 320 some pounds of pure muscle. Those are the kids that play football. If you are like 6'7 and as skinny as a rail, then yeah, you aren't playing football. You're going to be a swing.
Basketball, but LeBron plays basketball. Shaq played basketball.
Yes, but Shaq also did not have a football position. What was he going to be? A center?
I just, like, why didn't we get Shaq playing other sports? Why didn't we get Shaq as goalie?
Goalie in what? Soccer?
No, in hockey. I want to see him standing on skates, just like hunched over blocking the entire net at once.
I've still never understood why a team hasn't just signed like a 500-pound man, stuffed them in the goal, and literally, as long as they keep their hands down to protect the five hole, Where are you gonna shoot?
Right.
They aren't gonna move out. Just like don't even worry about the crease. Literally just stay in net the entire time.
Has anyone ever tried this that we know of?
No. I don't think so. I've only seen it in animated movies. Watched a lot of animated movies about hockey, clearly.
Clearly. The Mighty Ducks TV show.
Right. Black Mighty Ducks.
All right, let's take a break and then come back with maybe a little Lions talk.
Yeah, let's do it. We'll be back shortly.
All right, guys, and we're back here with the end of the episode. Got a couple things for you, and Bryce has got a White Claw. Bryce, what do you got there?
This end of our episode is brought to you by White Claw. The perfect drink for when you're just like, I want water, but I also want to feel drunk 3 hours down the line. White Claw.
Also, White Claw.
Ruby Grapefruit for when you're like, do I really want flavor? Nah.
Ruby Grapefruit. The only time it's good is in a squirt.
Ooh. Speaking of squirting, don't forget to stop down by Dirty Dick's Crab House.
Dirty Dick's Crab House. By the way, folks, I'm looking at an actual plastic cup for a restaurant called Dirty Dick's Crab House. I got crabs from Dirty Dick's.
I got my crabs from Dirty Dick's. Dirty Dick's Crab House. It could be worse. At least it's curable.
Okay. So I got something here for you, Bryce. Uh-huh. You being such a Lions fan, I figured I'd cue you up a little bit on this one.
Yeah, let's go Lions.
Who's more cursed, the T-Wolves or the Lions?
Oh, that's, we're just going to go right into that, huh? Well, first off, the Timberwolves make bad decisions. That's on them. The Lions have been cursed by Bobby Lane. We're a much better franchise, but we have to deal with the most curses. My Lions, though, are about to rise from the ashes like the Phoenix. We are about to hire a general manager and a head coach that are going to lead us to the Super Bowl. Stop. People around me are making jokes and I don't care. The Lions will win a Super Bowl in the next 7 years.
In the next 7 years.
Yes.
So at that point in time, when we're still running, when we're still trotting out Matthew Stafford for however many games he can stay healthy for, how old will he be?
Stafford will have moved on. We'll have our quarterback of the future who has been groomed by Stafford and to take over. He will be leading our team to a charge because forward down the field, we are a charging team that will not yield when the blue and silver wave stand and cheer the brave. Yeah, let's go Lions. I could do the rest of the song, but I feel like this is a basketball podcast.
No, I'm good with it. Go for it.
Forward down the field, a charging team that will not yield. And when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave. Rah, rah, rah. Go hard, win the game. With honor, you will keep your fame. Down the field with gain, a Lions victory. Go Lions. Let's see a Timberwolves fan do that.
That's it. That's it right there. That's the high watermark, folks. So if you are currently subscribed, just go ahead and end it right now. We're never getting better than that moment.
It's all love here, baby. Let's go, Lions. I want to see a Timberwolves fan give me their fight song. Don't worry. I'll wait.
All right. So I just want to make sure we're very clear on this. The Lions have made a lot of bad moves, too. They have brought a lot of shit upon themselves.
Listen, the Lions haven't made the bad moves. We've had the bad. Okay, let me rephrase that. The Lions have hired some people who've made some bad moves. We've suffered and survived through Matt Millen and the Quintricia era. We did make some smart moves. We had Jim Caldwell.
Yes, we did have Jim Caldwell. Jim Caldwell, secretly the nicest man in sports.
Yeah, Jim Caldwell. When you aren't actively trying to win it all, you just like want to look good every now and then.
All right. So let's end this. Let's end this with where are we in the search? And then what are you looking forward to next week in basketball?
Okay. So in terms of the Lions search right now, we're still talking into GM candidates. Most coaching searches are going to end. GM searches are going to end now that the college football season is wrapping up. We'll see what college coaches come in. But we expect to see the Lions having their GM and head coach in place after week 17. So I'd say give it about 2 weeks, 3 weeks. We should have a solid idea of which way we're going. In terms of the NBA this week, I'm just excited to see kind of regular basketball action. I know we've had a lot of breaks because of like Christmas and the holidays and, you know, like New Year's days and all this stuff. So ending this week and going into an actual regular basketball week next week, I think we're going to start to see some of these standings start to even out closer to what we expect.
All right. That makes sense. I would say I'm really excited to see the Kings and the Spurs
Ooh.
over the next week. The Kings have Houston back-to-back games. We got the Spurs tomorrow with the Lakers,
Yeah.
Sunday with the Jazz, Tuesday with the Clippers. They got some younger players I like. And then obviously I want to continue to see them play better than the Pistons and also not trade DeMar DeRozan so I can flare trap the shit out of you. And finally, I know there's a bit of a shakeup at your alma mater, U of M.
Yeah.
So where are we with the head coach of the football team?
Right now, your guess is literally as good as mine. I have no idea what's going on with Michigan football as of right now because Jim Harbaugh doesn't know what he's doing as of right now. The good news is undefeated in basketball,
So
Juwan Howard.
Jim Harbaugh will not win a championship before Juwan Howard.
I kind of have to agree with you on that.
Huzzah!
I
Michigan
have.
football is going to continue to suck.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that. I just think that Juwan Howard's that good that he will get us to the promised land soon.
Good for him. Good for him. Like that's a story I really like. When you want a good story, someone doing good, Juwan Howard's doing good right now. I like it.
Yeah, he's like Jim Caldwell, except he can win more games.
Do you think Udonis has Lum is watching and he's just like, man, I wonder what team I'm gonna go coach.
If Udonis Haslem is still picking up game checks because he's still in the NBA.
Good for that guy. Like that's
Udonis Haslem is not is I'm actually going to be sick and on my deathbed, and Udonis Haslem will still be collecting game checks from the Miami Heat.
They so if what's the better story in the history of the NBA? Due to the new CBA, Louis Scola getting amnestied and getting a new contract and being the highest paid player, or Udonis Haslem still playing?
Best story of all time in the NBA, in my opinion, is the NBA introducing a new CBA so that you can cut a player, the Allen Houston rule, and the Knicks not use it on Allen Houston. They named the rule basically colloquially after him, and the Knicks still didn't actually use that option to get rid of
On
him,
him. Oh my gosh.
which is the most New York Knicks thing I've heard.
Oh my gosh. That's the New York Knicks right there.
That's the Knicks.
Gone.
And that's a year.
All right. Bryce, I think we're done for now.
I think we're done.
Everybody, just remember that this podcast is not sponsored yet. So if instead of hearing about some crab shack, oh wait, never mind. Never mind. Dirty Dicks. Instead of
Dirty
hearing
Dicks.
about Dirty Dicks and Whoppers and White Claws, we could hear about your company right now.
We could. You could sponsor us for only like $100 a day. You can feed my addiction of vinyl records and random ass candies. You could
And
sponsor a
random
black
ass
kid in
candy.
Detroit for under $100 a day.
All right, man. I'll catch you later.
Happy New Year, sir.
Happy New Year, bud.
Adios, everybody. This has been Darko's Apple Farm. Listen to it wherever you find any major podcast. Bye-bye.